Welcome to Life Sciences and Science Life, a science podcast of the University of Vienna's Doctoral School of Pharmaceutical, Nutritional and Sport Sciences.
Our team of PhD candidates, along with various experts in the field, talk about current advances in science while exploring the challenges and triumphs of PhD life.
Welcome to this episode. We are your hosts, Agnes.
And this is Sarah.
Today, we are going to talk about industry and academia. And today, Vincenzo is here with us in the studio. Hello, Vincenzo.
Hello. Hello. Hello, everyone.
Vincenzo is a winner of the Marie Curie Fellowship and a PhD student in the Pharmaceutical Department of the University of Vienna. And we have some questions for you because you have the perspective of working in industry and in academia as well. So you can tell us from both sides which are the advantages and also disadvantages.
Thank you for being here, Vincenzo. I have a question for you. First of all, what led you to pursue a Marie Curie Fellowship and what is the structure of your PhD program?
So first of all, thanks for having me here. Sounds very cool, and I hope that my perspective can help someone to have a better idea of what's happening in both worlds. So, what led to pursue a Marie Curie Fellowship? It's very practical reason, money, because it's very well paid fellowship, and also prestige, because it's it's very well recognized, and on the CV it's a good mark, I would say, and also this requirement that you have to move and travel a lot. I always wanted a job that made me go around and explore a bit more different countries. And Marie Curie Fellowship was the perfect occasion, I would say. And the structure is a special program, I would say. There are many now. It's the full consortium is 15 PhD positions. And it's every PhD student is supposed to have 1 year and a half in industry and 1 year and a half in academia. So you have one partner from both sides. And I started the PhD in September 2021 at Bayer Pharmaceutical in Berlin with the Machine Learning Research Group. Super cool experience. Love every one of my colleagues in Bayer. And then after 1 year and a half, was supposed to start in March 2023 here in Vienna. But I started in May because I had 2 months in AstraZeneca with the molecular AI group in Gothenburg. It was cool to work there, working environment, super nice. And then since May of last year, I'm here in Vienna, and I have to say I enjoy it a lot. Vienna, kind of the best city I've lived in so far. I understand why it's always voted first, most livable city.
Yeah, you know? I agree. I completely agree.
Vincenzo, were these different projects in the different cities, or was it the same project you worked on?
Okay, the project, it was always the same, because when I applied to the fellowship, was already written. So my project is machine learning for prediction of compounds interfering with biological assay. The project was that. And but when I started in industry, you start the PhD, you're just studying and trying to get your hands on as much project as possible. So I was, helping with some internal project and learning most of the time. And when I moved to AstraZeneca for the 2 months, we had another project that was very fast. It was so cool to work on something that hardcore, I would say. And it was still different from my PhD project, but still super interesting. And then since I started to in Vienna, so in the academic partner, it was time to write papers, which is the funniest part of science.
Yes.
Of course, it's very ironic. And I got back to my original topic, with all the skill set that I acquired during my years in industry. And now I'm just trying to publish some paper on this frequent hitters, false positive prediction.
Did you already publish one paper?
Yeah, we have two papers published from the PhD. One, it's not first author. It's a review that we did with some members of the group. And it's a Nature Chemistry review. So it was a cool that you can say I'm an author, Nature author. It was a big satisfaction, but I have to admit I haven't done that much. So But it was nice to work with other people that know about the topic and just write a comprehensive review. And I recently published one original research paper on artificial intelligence in the life science. And yeah, like that was my first paper, first author paper of the PhD.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
I heard that you work in different countries and in different working cultures. So I was just wondering, what are the biggest differences in work culture between Scandinavian countries and the rest?
Well, I don't know, because I didn't have that much experience in Scandinavia. Like, I have to say it was, I don't know, I didn't notice much difference in, like, between industry, you know, like, because, like, hours were very flexible for researchers. So, like, there were people starting at 6 a.m. because they had children and they wanted to go home at 3 p.m. because they have important stuff to do. And others that would start at 11, and this was the case both in Gothenburg and in Berlin. Like, Berlin was fun. In Berlin, no one was starting before 10 a.m. Like, there was like, okay, guys, the like super good scientists, like, we are not starting early, like the best. And no, but working culture was always like very relaxed, and it's research. Like, so the nice thing was that people had some freedom to choose their time. So, like, they were really living as researchers, and you know, sometimes you are working 4 hours per day because, like, you run an experiment and you have to wait, and the rest of the time you're thinking, and the other time you are on the experiment 24 hours, like 18 hours, something like this. And, like, of course, in industry, you cannot do this in the office, you have to do this at home, but, like, it was nice. Academia is instead like a different beast, I would say. You are always on the project, like, it's a bit more less flexible, and I don't know. And you don't have a limit of time to be in the office. So it's, yeah, you can always be there.
Flexible.
But it's, like, working culture was the same what in Berlin and Scandinavia. I didn't notice any difference. Also because the groups were very international. So, like, I think it's not the country, but the people in the group that make the working culture different. Yeah, so, like...
So, Vincenzo, but when you compare how work is organized in the pharmaceutical industry compared to... academia and how research is typically conducted. So what are the main differences?
Okay, that I would say immediately that when you are in a pharmaceutical industry, you have to deal with a lot of people from different groups. So there's always this connection with like a chemist and like I'm, for example, machine learning research, and you have always to work with chemists that do wet lab and take into consideration their opinion and what they want. Computational chemists, so the people that do the modeling and like molecular dynamics simulation and target identification and this stuff. So there's more like a collaboration, understanding each other and trying to organize projects that have multiple parts, and they get together like somehow, which is very hard. This is the hard part of the job in pharmaceutical industry, because like there you have real talents, like really talented people, talented scientists, and then you have to make them work together. Like instead in academia, I say more like everyone is for themselves. Like, or if you collaborate with people, it's always people with the same type of skill set. You know, it's rare to see like for the PhD project, I would say like a person that is a chemist and a machine learning scientist like that works together in academia. Like they have to be friends at least, you know, like it's not that the project is organized in this way. And I would love to see more of this. I think like a much more interesting research would come out. We have some project with the group, like we collaborate with chemists sometimes, but it's not the normality, I would say. So like that was the main difference. And also like, of course, like in industry work, as a different goal, because it's like, making drugs, it's a cool thing. You're saving life, but first of all, you're making money. So
okay.
People are interested in like the results on the pipeline. Academia, like maybe you are less stressed on that side. Your output is a research paper. So the important thing is that it's interesting somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you contributed, like, personally, how in your group? Were you involved in any internal project?
Yeah, like, in the In Bayer, we always had meeting and there were different subgroups. So like directly involved, like just in a couple of hackathons, I would say. Like,
okay.
So there were internal hackathons. Like we took a couple of days just to work on a project. This is the cool stuff of computational science, that you can organize these 2 days. You just work with three people and you close yourself in a room and it's really nice. And then in contribution to internal project was more like I have some topics with which I'm passionate about, and people would come and ask me opinion on something that is related and they were working on. And yeah, that was my main contribution, like so suggesting maybe some idea and stuff. And a couple of them worked fine, actually. Like, so I was really, really happy about it. And but yeah, never did anything pipeline related. Okay, my project, I did some machine learning tool, and maybe the chemist will use it or maybe not, but this I will never know because I don't work with them anymore. But so yeah, contribution was almost like suggesting ideas and brainstorming.
Yeah, thank you. I'm also really wondering, what were the main differences you observe in how research is conducted in industry versus in academia?
Yeah, like I told this like going off topic in previous questions, I guess. Like it's like, first of all, this like differences in objectives and goals, like whether when in industry your goal, also if you're doing research, is like as a researcher is always to publish, but if you go up, like management wants you to do something for making more money in the end. So like that shifting goal, where like in academia, your goal is just, in a ideal world would be just to publish interesting research, but in the real world, in academia, the goal is just to publish. So like this changing goal, and also, as I told you, like this very big difference in how collaboration is conducted.
Yeah.
Like in industry, it's something mandatory, like that you collaborate and you can deal with people with different background and from different department. Otherwise, your research would not be used by anyone. It was like, will not be applied. Whether in academia, like you can just work alone on yourself, and particularly like when you're doing a PhD, sometimes it's just like going on your track and not talking with anyone, like going with your project, which is something I really don't like, because like, I'm really for collaborative research. I think that research must be collaborative, and there it's where good idea comes out, like from talking with other people and changing perspective and having fun with others. I mean, like doing research, we are doing something cool. We are very privileged, and I think it's really nice if we can have fun with it. You know, like you have a brain that works quite nicely, and when you meet other brains that are aligned, it becomes real fun. Like I have a lot of fun when you can talk science and have good ideas with friends and like dream a bit, like of what you can do, what you cannot do. So like, yeah, that's for me where the main difference is. This how you collaborate and how collaboration is ended, and also like the relationship with your supervisor.
And regarding that, I come up with a question, like how many hours or days do you work in academia versus the industry?
Okay, like in industry, okay, you have the time limit, like so like you cannot be in the office after 10 p.m. for example, and this was true for both AstraZeneca and Bayer. So like night, forget night shift. Maybe if you are in the lab, but for computational people, not. So like if you work remote, maybe you can do something at night, but yeah, there's this contractual time limit, I would say. Academia, it's like no hours, no?
Yeah.
You have the badge, you can enter the university, which I really like because it's so cool. Like, for example, I have a flexible schedule, so I really like to be in the uni when there's no one. So on Sunday, I really like to go to the university. And maybe on Monday, I really like to start at 4 p.m. and work for 2 hours, you know?
Yeah, but it's like, really flexible.
Yeah, it's flexible. But yeah, otherwise, like you always rack for 40 hours per week at least.
Yeah.
But there are weeks in which you don't have too much work to do. And you say like, okay, I can enjoy it a bit more. So like you work less than 40 hours. But then there are weeks in which you're like, okay, there's the deadline. I'm going to work 16 hours a day and not speak with anyone.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
yeah. So yeah, but like I try to keep enough time to do the stuff that I like, which is maybe like going to exhibitions with friends or climbing for sure. Mm-hmm. So like I try to stop working around 6-7 every day, like it's the maximum for me, I would say.
So when you think about your future, would you consider returning to industry or would you like to stay in academia?
Definitely returning to industry.
Oh,
just because it's like a very personal problem, because like I really, 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 really dislike to write papers. It's something I've seen people that really likes it and have a talent for it. I have maybe other talents, but paper writing like really drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And it's a requirement for academia. Like you cannot work in academia if you don't write paper. So like that is the single reason why I want to go back to industry or like however change a job. And also, of course, industry pays well, like better than academia. Like here in Austria, I don't know, because like here in Austria, like the salary for people in academia is quite good. Like postdoc, it's already like on a good level. But yeah, those are the two reasons. And also like because I think I shine more when I can talk with different people and have this networking and collaboration. Like if I'm closed in one room and work by myself, I really suck. Because I get bored and get annoyed and all this stuff. So like industry, I think it's a better environment for me.
Fine. Nice. So, and when you think about the experiences, which were the most valuable experiences or learnings that you had in both industry and academia?
Yeah, I don't know, like if I can make, like I learned this in that environment and this in that other environment, but I would say like what I learned through this PhD experience, like for my personal outcome, like so from personal life, I really understood that I cannot survive without other people. Like, so I really need friends and people that somehow gives me a support. And that is something I didn't believe in before starting the PhD. I was like, I'm going to cry. Like a really, really American way to see things, you know, like I'm an individual. I'm going to crash this life alone. But
yes.
No, I understood that communal living and having a community around, it's really much, much better and helps me much more. And so on that line, that collaboration is really the essence of science. Like good science comes out when you put some minds together and you collaborate. And also that collaboration, it's not easy because like you have a lot of clever people in this field, like when you do science, and a lot of weird people. I put myself first, like... we have all, I guess, a weird way of relating to other humans. A very special one. And there are people that are very, very special. So like putting them together, it's a challenge sometimes. But when people get along, it's really amazing. And I think it's this more like this getting a community around and working together. And also like that sometimes... when things are hard, is I think it's a outcome of the PhD, you can push yourself a bit more. Okay, there's a limit in which your mind breaks, but you can do more than you expect. Like I was surprised to see like that I could do something like, for example, this first paper, I was sure I would have never published it in my life. I was like, I will break before. But then, like, with the support of other people, of course, not alone, like, one manages, like, that you have more energy and more capabilities that you think you have, I guess.
Right. When you think about your next step, do you want to leave Vienna or do you want to stay?
Yeah, I think I will. I love Vienna. Like, it's so nice. But I'm one of these people that have this really deep necessity to change life from time to time. So like after 2 years still, like I feel like I have to change. And now I'm 31 years old, so like I'm quite on the older side of PhD students, I would say. Like but so yeah, like I say, like I want to move, because science, if there's one thing that science gives you, is the possibility to travel around for free, practically.
Sure. Yes.
So you can go to places like that you would have never gone without science. And so like maybe moving around, let's see where, like I have some ideas and looking for positions and jobs. And like, but yeah, I will be very sad when I will leave Vienna. I've always been sad when I left the city.
And we're coming to an ending. I would like to ask you for the final question. If you have a final takeaway from your experience in both industry and academia.
Science is a collaborative effort, in my opinion, and it works when you can have people working well together. Like I don't believe in this one-man show, you know, like that one person is a genius and just go through it alone. It's possible, but generally I don't want to deal with those people because like they are kind of scary. But yeah, like, so this is my main thing that I can get from my experience, both in industry and academia. Like, just collaborate and have fun with it.
Yes.
Because science should be fun.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a serious business, but we are not health surgeons, you know? Like, if you don't go to work for once, who cares? Like, you're not saving, you're saving life, but in a very long time, like 10 years from
now. I totally agree. Mental health is really important.
Mental health. So like have fun with science and don't expect results immediately, because what you do now, maybe if it worked fine, you will see the results in 10 years when you are doing something else. And it's like, my research worked somehow. it was helpful. Yes.
Thank you so much, Vincenzo, being here. It was a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Life Science and Science Life. And don't forget to follow us on our social media channels.
That's it for this episode of Life Sciences and Science Life. We are your hosts, Sarah
and Agnes. Tune in next month for more intriguing science topics, relatable PhD experiences, and experts' contributions on how to navigate the career path of a young scientist. The next episode is going to be about healthy aging with us. This is a podcast of the University of Vienna's Doctoral School of Pharmaceutical, Nutritional and Sports Sciences.
Don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn.
Thank you for listening. See you next time.